This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Buffalo Wild Wings. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. We are in Culpeper, Knolls Mill Road on a football Monday. Presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation, paulhenryswindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. We're trying to make sense of a 20-20 tie and figure out what we should be thinking after the Commanders and the Giants played nearly 4 hours of football and a winner was not determined yesterday. Certainly puts more weight on the upcoming home matchup against New York in Week 14. Washington, of course, idle this weekend while New York plays Philadelphia. If you missed the big news earlier today, Trey Turner is coming back to the division to play with Bryce Harper in Philadelphia. Turner, Harper, Schwarber, former Nats trio now with the Phillies. You got Max Scherzer with the Mets, who added Justin Verlander today, day one of the winter meetings. Stop me if you've heard this before. All is quiet on the Nationals front. They have not done a whole lot yet this offseason.
It's information.
Perhaps that could change in the near future.
Sure, oh, it will. Sure,
I forgot. They did go get Jamer Candelario. I forgot about that.
They signed a guy that was in the minors last year. So
we'll take that.
That's a perfect.
And the Nationals do not score.
Caps, Wiz, Commanders on this Beltway Blitz. Let's get it started right now. We begin on the ice with our buddy Ben Raby of Capitals Radio. Today, 8:30 start time, Edmonton against the Oilers. A little bit of an underachieving Edmonton team. Through 25 games, they got the best player on the planet, Connor McDavid. Caps, speaking of underachieving, injury-riddled, 10-12-4. Ben, break the matchup down for us.
It's a tough matchup for the Capitals, Grant. They're further shorthanded now. Number one goalie, Darcy Kemper, is out, won't play tonight. Company line is day-to-day after an upper body injury suffered over the weekend. And also, significantly, Martin Ferravari on the back end, you know, maybe not a household name to casual fans. Martin Ferravari, arguably one of the Capitals' best defensemen, he's been placed on IR. So already without Dmitry Orlov on the back end, now without Martin Ferravari, that's two of your top four defensemen. And with that as the backdrop, you're going up against the speedy, uber-talented team that is Edmonton, led by, as you noted, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. It's going to be a lot to handle as far as what the Capitals must try to contain and defend tonight, with Charlie Lindgren getting the start. But the injury woes already for a team that is tops in the league in man games lost this year. You think about the headliners up front they've been without. Now you look at the back end. You look in goal. Every position, literally every position up and down this depth chart, being bit by the injury bug right now.
It's out of control. I mean, what is going on with all these injuries? We got no food. We got no jobs. Our pets' heads are falling off. What's happening here?
Not unless they want us to work between 9 and 5, 40 hours a week, right? It's unbelievable. No, the injury woes are you know, speaking of colleague Tarik El-Bashir from The Athletic earlier in the week as well, even before the latest two injuries, you know, we said between us, we can't remember a time when the Capitals in the Ovechkin era has dealt with the injury bug to this extent. They had something close to this a year ago when they began the year and they were without Backstrom and TJ Oshie joined the injury list and they were also without several key cogs, but it wasn't to this extent. And the difference, as we spoke last week, was that even last year, as the injury list was piling, their heavy hitters who were in the lineup picked up the slack. And that's been a big difference this year, and something that GM Brian McClellan acknowledged over the weekend. In all seriousness, McClellan addressed reporters in Calgary on Saturday and called them out by name, said they need more from guys like Kuznetsov, like Anthony Mantha. The guys who are in the lineup, who have been healthy, who have been fixtures, they got to lift their weight. They got to do some heavier lifting than we've seen so far.
How was your day, Lloyd? Not bad. Fell off the jetway again. Let's go to the fact, the big picture here, Benjamin. They're 5-12, including overtime losses or shootout losses, in the last 17 games. When is it no longer early?
As far as the panic level, as far as where they are in the standings, as far as having to make up ground, yeah, I think the concern level is there. I think it's there. They're tonight's game 27. You're a third of the way through the regular season. You're falling behind in the standings. You're 5 points back of a playoff spot, and you've got multiple teams you'd have to pass. 5 points on the surface doesn't sound like a lot. It's a three-game winning streak, but obviously you bear in mind the teams you're trying to catch, and there are several of them ahead of the Capitals in the standings. So I think the antenna has already gone up as far as the uphill climb that they have to make up and the ground they have to make up. They're not hiding from this. Again, I point to McClellan's comments over the weekend. He didn't mince words. He referenced that this is concerning for a team that has higher expectations than to what they're playing at right now.
Ben, tell Billy in 4C we said hello. Thank you for the time.
Pretty bird.
Sold him a bunch of cards. Appreciate it, fellas.
See you, pal. Let's talk some hoops.
The Wizards.
Let's talk to our guy, the voice of the Wiz. You occasionally hear him over on the FM side on 106.7. He's mostly on our sister station throughout the year. Dave Johnson, the voice of the Wiz. Last time out yesterday, Lakers 130, Wizards 119. They fell again. They've been struggling here. And it was LeBron with 29 playing second fiddle to Anthony Davis's 55. What happened, Dave?
Well, they ran into a team that's playing about as well as anybody in the NBA. That's not to excuse the way they lost, though, yesterday. It was definitely a concerning game. I mean, I have struggled to get across the street because I'll run into a Wizards fan and I'll have to talk them off the ledge and have to provide counseling to various people because it's not been a good stretch of games right now, and it's not going to get any easier with the road coming up. So I'm not pushing a panic button, but there's concern right now for this Wizards team that was not that long ago we were talking about a team that won 5 of 6 at home.
Yeah, losers of 6 of 7, 7 out of 10 here of late. And you break some of these down, losing to the Celtics or the Heat on the road, there's no shame in that. Those are good teams. And the way Brooklyn's playing lately, that's not crazy either when Kevin Durant's so good. But you start to add it up, Dave, and it's not a pretty picture, especially when, Johnny Davis is getting minutes down with the go-go and they're not getting a ton of production from some of their young pieces. It's a veteran group that's doing this. Kind of give me a big picture here. I know you're not hitting the panic button, but there's plenty of cause for concern, right?
Oh no, there's cause for concern because, as I said, there's only two more home games before Christmas, and legend has it that life on the road in any sport is more difficult. So, big picture, I think we're going to see more lineups with Kristaps Porzingis and Daniel Gafford together. That's been encouraging when those two have been on the floor. Big picture, Corey Kispert has to do what he is really starting to come on to do and be looking for his shot more and be aggressive, because this is the three-point shooting has been a mystery, but he's got the rhythm and the shot down. They're going to need him. We're concerned about the Bradley Beal hamstring injury situation. But small pictures, you look at some of those losses, both those Heat games could have won. The Brooklyn Nets game, you miss 11 free throws and lose by 6. So that's where you don't want to panic because you're thinking, all right, up against the Brooklyn Nets, it's little details. Little details like not getting out rebounded, not giving up second chance points. So that's not schemes. That's not X's and O's. That's just taking care of small details. So during this stretch, there have been some maddening losses because they put themselves in a bad position that they didn't have to put themselves in. Think about the other night against the Charlotte Hornets. Think about this, guys. The Hornets, they outscored the Hornets 28-10 in the fourth quarter. That's great. Usually when you do that, that means a win. But because the Wizards put themselves in a bad position earlier, they lost that game. It's like the old joke my grandmother loved. You go to the doctor and says, it hurts when I do that, and the doctor says, well, then stop doing that.
Then don't do that.
There's some, yeah, there's some correctables. There's some easy correctables. But I also think, you know, big picture, you're going to see, you know, some different lineup combinations as they look for more, you know, grit and toughness and physicality at times, quite frankly.
Dave, awesome as always. Thank you. We appreciate you.
All the best, guys. All the
See
best.
You, buddy.
Let's keep the blitz moving to the gridiron. Ethan Cadeau, NBCSportsWashington.com, joins us now. Ethan, they should be annoyed that they tied. They should be happy that they tied.
I think a little bit of both, which is why the team was so unsure how to feel after that game. I mean, they had so many chances where they could have won the game in both the regulation and overtime, but they also had so many chances where they could have lost the game, and I think we all thought Graham Gano was going to make that field goal at the end. So the fact that it didn't truly hurt them in playoff implications is good, but that just means next Sunday night's game against New York is that much more important. So it's like skins in golf. This game means double now.
Yeah, I'm sort of – I don't really know how to express this very well, Ethan. I am not bummed. And I guess kind of my anger and frustration, that I've already given that, like their offseason plan and kind of how they went into this thing. I'm basically going, this is the game they play every week. And when you play a coin toss game, sometimes it's, you know, five for you and five for the other guy. You know, sometimes it works out against Atlanta and Indianapolis, and sometimes it doesn't work like Minnesota. But this was sort of due to happen, and they didn't lose when it didn't break their way. I'm kind of not that bitter about it. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I feel where you're coming from, and as weird as it is, a tie is a lot better than a loss. I mean, if they lost this game and then lost in 2 weeks, their season would pretty much be over, assuming Seattle doesn't fully choke at the end of the year. So I think the result, obviously, it wasn't what you wanted, but it's like that weird middle ground because it's not what you didn't want either. It just raises the stakes for the rest of the year, but, I mean, breaks have gone their way at times this year and the opponent's way at times as well. This time, it just happened to be down the middle. I mean, it stinks that there's no conclusive result one way or another, but they still have so much to play for this year. I think the bye is coming at a perfect time where the high energy and the ride they were on the winning streak is kind of off now. They can really focus on areas they need to improve and kind of rest up and heal up for this four-game stretch.
Speaking of the four-game stretch, Giants now flexed into primetime, Sunday Night Football. Very winnable. You're playing yourself, essentially. The 49ers will be without Jimmy G. They're going to be with a third quarterback or a street free agent. Browns, you just saw Deshaun Watson look like a guy who hadn't played in 700-plus days. It was awful the other day, or yesterday. They play them on January 1st. And then the Cowboys might have nothing to play for at the end of the season. I mean, this now lines up that all four of those games, I would say, are really winnable, and they probably aren't going to be, at worst, more than a 2- or 3-point dog at any point.
100%. And I think I saw this on Twitter earlier. It's not who you play, it's when you play them. I mean, the Browns, I'd honestly be more scared right now if Jacoby Brissett came back in and played in that matchup. But that's also at home, too. You should have the advantage when you have a lot more to play for. That Dallas game looks like they're probably not going to have much to play for. They're either going to be firmly entrenched in that 5 seed or if they can catch Philly. But that doesn't look likely either. So I'm optimistic, and I'm taking the optimistic view of these next 4 games. Obviously, they have to beat the Giants. That's the most important one and the one coming up. But I think if they go 2-2, they still have a chance to get in, and 3-1 should almost certainly get them in. So things are kind of working out in their favor. They just got to use this bye correctly.
Ethan, it seems like our weekly question that I ask you, it's about Chase Young playing football for the Washington Commanders. Is that going to happen? We do the this should be the week, and then we find out later in the week it's not the week.
The mixed messaging that we've gotten on Chase Young is so confusing. I just like don't know how to put it into words. I mean, 1 week we're saying he's close, he's going to be on a pitch count, then Rivera's like the turf isn't going to be a factor. Today he said it's just mental reps, he needs to be confident and really be able to feel comfortable putting that leg in the ground and pushing off. He has to be ready.
Well, last week, remember, he didn't play because he was sick, not because of his leg.
Right.
So last week it was because he was ill, but now it was because of the leg again.
Yeah, so it's just like so confusing, and I get the turf part too. But he's returned to practice on November 2nd. It's December 5th. It's almost 13 months since he tore it. It'll be 13 months almost to the day from when he tore it, when the Giants game comes around. That's at home. If he doesn't play in that game, I'm just really confused as to what happens next with him. I think he will play, but I've said I think he'll play for the last 3 weeks, and he obviously hasn't. So I guess my word means nothing on this, but it's just really hard to understand what the plan is because the plan keeps changing, and there's a new reason why he's not playing every week.
I got to imagine you're right, and he'll play. Because if he doesn't play that game, then he just should be shut down for the rest of the season. Because at that point, you've burned a roster spot for a month, and what are we doing here?
I'm with you 100%.
But you got to imagine he'll play. I mean, just
listen, I've imagined it many times.
this would be different. This would be like three more weeks later. You know what I mean?
This is
2 weeks from now.
Yeah, and right. 6 weeks from when he returned to practice, too. I mean, he sounded like he was ready to go 2 to 3 weeks ago. I know that illness came in, and he's still working back with confidence on that leg. But at some point, it's either he plays or he doesn't play. And they could obviously use him down the stretch, even if it's for 12 to 16 plays, like the pitch count we were told. So hopefully that's what happens. But I can far from say it's a guarantee based on how everything's transpired.
Ethan Kiddo, NBCSportsWashington.com. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, dude.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, let's do this next on Grant and Danny. We're live at B-Dubs in Culpeper. If you're in the area, swing on by and say what's up. We want to kick it with you. Here is where we'll go next. They tie the game, right? You and I have been trying to make sense of this. Did this feel more like a win or a loss on a binary? You've got to either say, you're putting this into one of the two columns. You feel like they won or you feel like they lost. Because there are some ties where maybe you're underdog by 15 points and you tie someone and you could go, man, that's a win. There are some ties where you had a 15-point lead, you blew, and you were supposed to win the game, your 7-point favorite. This was kind of a toss-up game. They were a couple of point favorite. They were up 10-0, but if you had to move that kind of slider one direction or the other toward win or loss, which would you choose? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
From 58, Gano's kick is short. Oh.
That Graham Gano kick was online, and he's been phenomenal from 50-plus. I don't know if it was just windy or he didn't get a hold of the whole football. I'm not really sure. It wasn't close. And Joey Sly missed from 52, so it wasn't like it was an easy day to kick. Meadowlands is not overly favorable, generally speaking, outdoors.
Tough place to kick.
Cold, windy. So I wasn't expecting him to make it, but you never know. I mean, he's made close to 60-yarders with the game on the line in his career for the Panthers when he was kicking for Rivera. He made a 59-yarder for Washington, second-longest kick in team history at one point. So it wouldn't have stunned me if it got in, but I wasn't banking on it. It kind of felt like that game was destined for a tie after the end of the fourth quarter. Someone just asked me, and I think this is a great question. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings, by the way, so stop by and say hello if you're in the Culpeper area. We're off Knolls Mill Road in Culpeper at B-Dubs today on a Football Monday, presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Jay Gruden's on the show in 30 minutes at 5 o'clock. Always love having Jay on, so make sure you're listening at that time. Do you put your left hand up after yesterday or not? I mean, left hand up, who are we? After a win, you throw that left hand up, especially if you're Commander Danny.
Okay.
But with a tie, does your hand go partially up?
This is a great day to not put it up at all.
So your hand kind of goes shoulder height?
You could just get in the habit of not doing it at any time. This is a great way to start that
habit. It's like in class. If you're raising your hand to get called on, you have to raise it really high to be seen. But if you, You want to pretend like you're trying so the teacher doesn't actually call on you because you're not overly zealous. You could just kind of half put your hand up, you know what I mean?
Or wait for them to call on someone else and then kind of shoot your hand
there
up after they already said Grant. Yeah, that was my move.
It might be that kind
of thing. I was going to say that. That's what I was going to say. I was going to say what Grant said.
Right. What do you guys think? More of a win, more of a loss? What's it feel like for you? Ned is in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What's up, Ned?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's much more of a win. The football gods are smiling on us once again. Giants have to go and play a tough game in Philly. We get 2 weeks off to get ready for them. I just can't see it any other way.
I think on what lies ahead for both teams, the tie benefits Washington more than the Giants.
I agree with that.
The Giants play the Eagles 2 times and the Vikings still. The Commanders play the 49ers now with a third-string quarterback. The Browns with the rustiest QB in the game in Watson. And in the final week of the season, maybe the Cowboys resting everybody. The Giants probably needed to win that game more. Not to mention, the next time you play Washington, which is the biggest now game of both team seasons, you're there at their place. Washington's hosting you. And the Commanders are coming off a bye. So for all those reasons, I definitely think the tie helps the Commanders more than the Giants, if that answers the question. But it's still hard to look back at all the chances yesterday and everything that happened, and you were up 10-0, and just feel really good about it. Let's go to Craig in Woodbridge on G&D. Hey, Craig, how
are you? What's
up, Craig? All right. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I think that with the Commanders, excuse me if I say the R word once in a while, with the Commanders being in the last place in the division, 7th seed in a tie situation, I take it as a loss because you need every win you can get.
That makes sense, honestly. Just in fact, they're still, you know, outside actually right now this minute looking in because of the way the schedules pop. So Seattle overtook them for the 7th seed. Washington still has a great chance. But, you know, counting on wins later, worse than counting on wins right now. I understand that philosophy. I guess for me, Jeeps, this thing is as simple as this for me. My anger and frustration is big picture. I want off this ride of mediocrity. But that's what we're on right now. I can't do anything about it right now. Right now, this is how they're playing. A coin toss every week. They lost the coin toss this week, so to speak, and didn't lose the game.
Yeah,
I'm not mad about it. I'm not. I normally, I'd be probably frustrated that they missed some opportunities. The Giants missed just as many, if not more. I kind of am thinking out loud, they got away with one this week. And that's sort of my mantra for it. It's a half loss is way better than a full one.
I get that. I mean, said differently, they walk the high wire every single week to try to win this way and don't fall off. And we keep telling everyone, hey, this is hard to do. This is unsustainable. This style, running the ball this way, not turning it over, not committing penalties, not getting behind the sticks. This is a high wire act.
Yep.
Well, they fell off the wire. Mm-hmm. And our point was always when they fall off, they die. Well, they fell off and they like landed on a branch. And they caught themselves.
Yeah, they left one of those awnings in front of an apartment building and bounced off. Still hurt, but they're not dead.
Luke in Falls Church on Grant and Danny, home of the Jaguars. What's up, Luke?
Hey, Luke.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, bud?
Happy day after a tie day.
Tie day.
Day.
Day. I would say day. It's kind of a loss because we got out of our playoff position. You know, the Seahawks jumped us, and so we don't control our own destiny. Yeah, we kind of lucked out, but I felt like we still should have won that game, and I felt like Taylor was playing for his job on the fourth quarter drive. If he didn't do that, then we would have a total different story about is Wentz going to be playing or not.
So that's interesting.
That is interesting.
I mean, I don't think he would have gotten benched after one game where they lose. Having said that, I think he would have had to play well in the next game.
I think that's the central thing. It now opens the door to where you can have one. Yeah.
If that last drive, well, it wasn't the last drive. I mean, they had 4 chances, I think it was, after that to get
more
points.
More possessions afterwards.
And they never did anything. But if that 90-yard drive with the Jahan Dotson brilliant play and the big catch where Samuel was working on a practice squatter, the 4th and 4, which was the one magical play from Heinicke on the drive. I thought he was fine otherwise. I mean, he threw it to an open Samuel. He threw to an open Dotson, who made plays. But the 4th and 4 play was all him. That was incredible.
It's legit.
Amazing play. Less a great drive, more a great play, honestly, from Heinicke for me. But the point is, if that drive doesn't happen, what I think happens is the story is, okay, is it time? Like, can they make a move? Should they consider making a move? Then you have the Rivera presser today, and he's asked about it. And now he is a dud against the Giants at FedEx out of the bye on Sunday Night Football away from losing his job. Whereas the drive means it's like it's like filling up a cup with water. And when the cup overflows, you go to Wentz. Well, I think the cup would have been really, really high with water. And every time they win, or in this case tie, with a play he made,
takes him out.
You pour the whole cup back out and you start over. And so I think there's no water in the cup right now. It takes two bad games in a row to overflow. I think the cup would have been three quarters full going into this next Giants game had he not had that drive. Let's go to Frank in Richmond, home of the Flying Squirrels. Nutsy, the mascot.
Sure is.
And what's the other one? Nutsy.
Well, the Richmond Spiders. The
Natasha. Natasha. I'm looking for Natasha.
You're just thinking of the AAA Richmond Braves?
No. Flying Squirrels. So Nutsy is the mascot, and then the mascot's girlfriend is Natasha.
Natasha.
Mm-hmm. She's only five, I believe. Maybe they're brother and sister. I don't know.
We don't know.
What's going on in Richmond, Frank?
Hey, guys. Mathematically, the draw is bad for them. They're out of the playoffs now. And also the other thing is the Giants were on the downslide with momentum. The Commanders were on the upside, and that kind of evens out the momentum. And I'm super, super PO'd that they flexed the game so I can't go. I took off a couple days from work to go see him in Houston, and now they do something silly like this, so regular guys like me can't go to the game.
Oh, bummer, man. Sorry about that. Seriously.
Sorry to hear that. Regular guys like me. I mean, there's going to be some regular guys like us in the crowd. Appreciate you. So I wonder, did he want a Sunday at 1 or maybe a Saturday afternoon type game?
I don't know,
I was told a few weeks ago the team was expecting, and it was just their hunch. They hadn't been told anything. But they were thinking maybe a Saturday 4 o'clock window.
Because they play the following Saturday.
Exactly.
On Christmas Eve against San Francisco.
So they'll have a short week.
Yes.
Night game. Oh, my. How many hours is Chris Russell going to spend on this? Holy crap.
I mean,
they have a Sunday night game into a Saturday game across country.
They've screwed them again.
Oh, the scheduling gods. Oh, I mean, Russell's going to lose his mind.
Oh, the adversity.
He's going to be talking about this for hours.
I'm telling you.
They have to. They'll go to bed at 3 in the morning, and then they'll have to wake up. And then 6 days later, they're going to have to fly to San Francisco.
Pete, when will they fly, Pete? Thursday? Or does Ron do the day before? Just Friday? Thursday? Friday? How many days is that? Five? Two? Ah!
Slashy's going to lose his mind. This from Ben Standing of The Athletic. Commander's center Tyler Larson suffered a dislocated kneecap on Sunday.
Oh, man.
That's brutal. According to a person close to the situation, next steps are to be determined, but this could be a season-ending injury. Remember, he tore his Achilles at the end of last year. He had stabilized this line. Their center position had been awful early in the season, a really big part of their running struggles and their pass protection issues. Larson's been an unsung hero. We haven't, honestly, probably as a show, talked enough about him, but occasionally we'll bring him up. If he's not available, they're back to a collection of centers that really struggled early in the season when Wentz was starting. And now Heineke's going to have to deal with that interior pressure, which, by the way, was a real problem for him.
It was an issue.
In the second half of this game, and especially after the Larson injury. That's where the sacks and the fumbles and stuff, it came from. He's a smaller guy, so I'm acting this out at Buffalo Wild Wings now.
Uh-huh.
But when he gets that interior pressure, he does the bit where he kind of, like, loads up and falls backward off his back foot, led to two sack fumbles.
And the old airmail to the middle of the field if he throws it. Which is highly dangerous. So I don't know, man. Yeah, listen, that's a huge thing. Jay Gruden said to us, we'll ask him about this when he comes up in about 20 minutes, but he said he'd like to lose any other position besides center. That's what used to freak him out and keep him up at night. That is a underrated thing that's going to be a huge challenge for them to overcome.
Jay's on the show at 5. We're Grant and Danny taking your calls. Locked and loaded on the lines at 800-636-1067. A tie, man. That should be something you wear with a suit, you know? Not something that happens in a football game.
I tied a tie for Chris Russell on Friday.
You did?
Yeah.
He looked great, by the way.
Thought he looked nice.
It was really, really nice.
Gave him a full half Windsor.
Had a big event, and it was really cool to be a small part of it. They, for Best Buddies in Virginia. He was one of their ambassadors.
It's awesome.
They raised a lot of good money, which was cool. 800-636-1067, MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, Jay at 5. We're trying to figure out if yesterday felt good or bad or both. More good, more bad. Ties stink. G&D on the Fan. On the Fan, live at Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's our fault.
Everyone our at B-Dubs is just kind of laughing at us.
Our bad.
So we were fighting over iPhones and Androids and read receipts, and we're literally just all talking about it, sending each other texts, trying to figure this out. And then Ryan gets a call from Darris, our producer in the D.C. studios. And he goes, hello? And he goes, guys, we're back! We're back! We all had our headphones off, just forgot we were working, doing a radio show.
Huge part of what we do. Is talking on the radio.
Darris, how long were we back? How long was music playing while we all sent each other text messages and argued about read receipts?
So I played a clip of Kenny Albert, the great
Kenny
Albert.
We did not hear Kenny Albert.
Didn't even hear that.
It was a great clip.
Yeah, played a clip of him calling the Terry McLaurin touchdown. Yeah. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And then I played Billie Jean from Michael Jackson for
kind of the whole
about
song.
A good 30
a
seconds
verses.
Before you guys finally got back on mic. Yeah.
Wow, that's a long time. So we missed the Kenny Albert highlight and Billie Jean, which is a great song. And we'll apologize to everyone who had to sit through all that while we should have been doing our job. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings, fighting over read receipts in Culpeper, we're Grant and Danny. Ryan's our producer in charge of very important matters, like keeping us on task. I'm just kidding. I'm throwing Ryan under the bus. It's a Football Monday presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. Let's go to John in Pennsylvania on line 7. We got Jay Gruden in 13 minutes. John, how are you, buddy?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
What's up, bro?
Hey, so you guys act like the ride of mediocrity is bad. That's the best ride we've been on in a long time.
It's a fun ride.
I was at the game on Sunday, on yesterday. Coming from Pennsylvania, it was still better than going to Philly any day. But everybody there, Washington fans, New York fans, they were waiting for their team to lose. There was no excitement there. I looked at the tie as a loss, but then as I look back on it, when Heinicke got sacked there at the 2-yard line and didn't fumble the ball, and we came out with a tie, I think that's a win in our book.
There's so many plays like that, by the way. Thanks for the call.
Appreciate you.
And I'm sure Giants people that follow them closely can do the same thing. I'm a Washington guy who does the Washington thing,
yep.
So I'll just tell you ours. The Heinicke sack at the 2-yard line without fumbling is a thank you God moment. The Darius Slayton wide open for 35 yards to get you to field goal range in the last minute that he completely and inexplicably dropped was a thank you moment. There were not one or two, but three near interceptions of Heinicke at the end of the game. One in the hands of the defender. I guess four if you count the diving safety on the overthrow of McLaurin from the goal line. But I'm just talking about the Cam Sims play with Fabian Moreau at the 50-yard line, the Terry McLaurin catch and run for a first down with 37, hands outstretched that went right over his fingertips. I mean, there were so many of those type of plays that if you're adding those up and saying, okay, thank you goodness, we're going to tie this game and we'll take it and run with it, I totally get it. But the other side of that was you're up 10-0. You had the ball, it looked like moving into field goal range a couple times, and without some penalties, you'd have been in business. And you can say the same, I guess, about the taunting penalty for the Giants
totally.
When they were about to go up by 10. Let's go to Chris in Hyattsville, Grant and Danny's Listener of the Year for the year 2022. How are you, Chris?
Good, guys. Good, guys. How you doing?
Very well, buddy.
I'm glad to hear that I'm still in your good graces, Grant. By the way, really quick before we get to football, are the Washington Nationals still a franchise? Like,
no,
are they still a team?
Technically, yes,
okay.
Is all I can offer.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Technically.
I thought he said contending franchise.
No, he just said
franchise. Got it.
Yeah, they still exist in Major League Baseball.
Still a baseball team, yep.
Also, I hope the Phillies enjoy their $30 million 41-year-old shortstop in a couple of years.
Don't act like you're not jealous. Don't act like you wouldn't have done the same
thing. I'm jealous, but I said the same thing. But I'm very. It's because I'm jealous,
but
Chris.
You guys are just being animus.
Yeah.
No, that's not the right word.
Well,
you're being animus?
I have animus.
There is animosity.
I'm exhibiting animus.
You have animus.
Animosity.
You're just being jealous Jerry's.
I'm being very Tom Petty.
Yeah.
I'm being what they call a hater.
Yes.
Yeah, you are.
They do call it that.
Drinking haterade.
Okay. So listen, anytime you walk out of the Meadowlands for this team, I don't care what, it could be Yesterday, it could have been 1985. If you walk out of the Meadowlands without a loss, in my opinion, that's a win. Plus, you know, they're technically out of the playoffs right now, but they do control their own destiny for the most part, unless the Lions go on a run. If the team in front of you that's ahead of you, you play them next in 2 weeks. If you beat them, you leapfrog them, okay? And this is my biggest problem right now is the overtime scenario. It's 3rd and 10 after the drive had started to stall. And what do you do? You need to get at least 10 yards to get in the field goal range. What's the brilliant North Turner son prodigy, you know, hit that's going to call this a brilliant offensive genius play? What's the call? A 1 yard out rocket, you know, screen pass to Curtis Samuel. I'm sorry, I don't care if you think Taylor Heinicke is dog water. If you can't trust him to throw the ball over the field in positive territory at that point in the game, when the game on the line, then he shouldn't be out there.
So here's the problem, Chris.
I'm a Heinicke guy.
Yeah, I appreciate you,
man.
Thanks,
bro.
Thank you. We got less than a minute left here, hard out into the hour. But here's the problem. We talked about that play in detail earlier in the show. You can rewind Odyssey app and check it out. Succinctly, I would just say I didn't hate that call. 1st and 10, they got 3. 2nd and 10, they lost 3. It was 2nd and 7, they lost 3. It was 3rd and 10.
It was 3rd and 10.
And they went wide receiver screen. You've had 2 sacks of Heinicke that led to fumbles in this game already from his blind side. Your center and your guard are both out. They've been chewing you up in the interior with their pass rush. Are you risking a drop back 5 or 7 steps to throw the ball down the field? That's ballsy. Are you trying to throw the ball in the middle of the field where Heinicke struggles immensely and has been overthrowing guys in this game and off and on throughout his entire tenure? He did call the play as if it was conservative, scared, nervous of Heinicke, whatever. I can't beat him up for that. I would have done the same thing. Curtis Samuel, with a run on that drive, got into the open field, made a bunch of guys miss.
21 yards.
Had been really good in the second half of the game, ended up being their best player for the last 10 or 12 minutes of total offense, I would say. So they got the ball to his hands in space and a play that he got 10 yards on a little bit earlier in the game. I mean, they ran 2 wide receiver screens for 24 yards before the one before that got blown up for 0. So they averaged 8 on wide receiver screens in the second half of the game. They basically were playing for a handful of yards to kick a field goal. They didn't get it. It didn't work. I didn't hate that call based on all of the variables.
Yeah, where you could gripe are the 2 straight runs where they hadn't really hit a run in an hour, right? I mean, just in terms of real time. The last successful run was probably at the start of the fourth quarter when Brian Robinson went for 11. After Curtis Samuel, in a kind of a neat little formation, ripped off 21, you got some momentum. It was Robinson right, Robinson left. Now you're in a 3rd and 10. I'm actually with you. I didn't hate the 3rd and 10 call. I don't know. It's easy to work back when the result wasn't very good. Obviously, in those 3 plays after you got the ball into Giants territory and you're just one more offensive play away from a field goal shot that might have worked. But, yeah, I know the frustration.
And I understand it didn't work. And when it doesn't, that's
it's easier to say.
It's not
yeah.
a great call. But I think when you take everything into account, it's the same as me hating when they were at their own goal line. They ran it on 2nd and 16 and then 3rd and 10. Both times mm-hmm. before punting at the end of the game.
Yep.
I think I tweeted something like, we're about to find out how much Scott Turner trusts Taylor Heinicke.
And now we know.
And they handed it off twice in a row. Do you blame him? I mean, I guess Chris does a little bit. As he said, he's a Heinicke guy. I don't. I think they've gotten here essentially by not asking Heinicke to do a ton and by not allowing him to beat them. And they kind of did that and still ended up after that having their chances over and over again to win the game, which I'm sure Turner would consider a win. All right, let's talk to a guy who's called plays. We can ask him about that play call. Jay Gruden, former head coach here in Washington, joins us next on Grant and Danny on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.